I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When all this first began, I never dreamt it would end this way. I had just come out of the police academy and received my first solo assignment. It seems like only yesterday.
The money was inside the fish.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 649. I'm Scott Johnson. Joined today by Brian. He ate 14 plates of beans before his scheduled execution Dunaway.
Oh, you guys are in for a surprise. Electric. Oh, hi. This week on FilmSack, we get super fuzzy about what exactly our eyes are seeing over on Amazon Prime or the far superior visual fidelity transfer on YouTube image. After we receive a deadly dose of super-powered Italian action cop comedy from this 1980s forgotten HBO midday movie staple that apparently has given us the ability to endure a lethal injection's worth of no, not this effing theme song again! Straight into our ear holes like some kind of cop you can't judge by his cover, unless that cop is Ernest Borgnine and he is literally licking the top of that inflatable ball they have been dancing around on. Okay, I am judging. Gross. Anywho, now that we had the powers to stop grocery store thieves armed with guns and wearing controlled top pantyhose on their heads by catching bullets with our gun barrels and our beautiful Italian smiles. Oh, hi. I guess it is time to see if we can do something really beneficial for our community, like gaslighting our girlfriend with some post-apocalyptic suggestions to get her to marry us and have our little Italian babies, which just so happened to look like Ernest Borgnine. Hey, wait a minute. Randy, why are you so mad? It's like you're sorry I'm still alive.
Nicely done. Ernest Borgnine, MVP. Borgnine, MVP.
Oh, for sure.
With us also, Randy, now you duck and hit him real fast, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. All right, listen up. I'm the police chief here in Miami, Florida, and what I say goes right out the window. Yeah. Okay, I remember one time in police college, I painted myself green and pretended to be a Martian. You are a bunch of the most useless cops I've ever seen, unless you count seeing cops in comedy movies where every quick scene ends with a punchline song beat. And that, you know, features like a nonsense word like dingler, you know, like he's a dingler. Now, just imagine how life would be if that happened 10 times a day. I think you'd kill yourself, but you're not allowed to any suicides until you finish your shift as cops. And while you're out there, you're required to follow these three rules. Number one, at any time, you might be in a situation where someone could hurl themselves out a window or like through a wall. At any of those times, I need you to place yourself at least 10 stories up. In the real world, almost all police departments are on the ground floor for, you know, for good reasons, but not yours. Hell, you should make people who go to see an execution climb several flights of stairs before they get to the witness chamber. Number two, only a couple of you are allowed to to ever do anything in your capacity as cops. A city the size of Miami, we have around 500 cops, and we only have two who actually do stuff. There's an exception, except when we need all cops to arrive at the seaplane landing at precisely the same moment. Number three. This is important.
All right.
Speaking of moments.
Okay.
When a person appears to fall to their death, you are required by local law to begin a solemn funeral for them immediately. And if anyone around you gets on their phone during your impromptu eulogy, you give them hell, that asshole.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's
give them hell.
Rule three is really, that one's really striking a chord. Holy hell. Well, there you have it. Finally, with us, we got Brian. He always explains his problems away because of the color red Ibit.
I do. And let me put down my giant bowl of meringue that I'm whipping for some reason. And
That's so weird.
Let me answer the door. Oh, who are you looking for? You're looking for Officer Speed? No, I'm sorry. He lives three doors down.
Oh, bah, my Lord. Bah. Maybe. We don't hear it.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Oh, so you guys did hear me playing Tiny Dancer earlier. That was
Nope.
Didn't hear that
you
either.
Thought that fell on flat. You fell on flat, right?
I was like, oh, wondering why joke, like, oh, the joke just isn't going anywhere. Huh? I wonder why. All right. You're looking for Officer Speed? He lives three doors down.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, I took the boat into the Native American tribal ground. I checked each domicile, but I couldn't find any of them around. Seems NASA had some experimental plans. Now I'm a radioactive Florida man, Now I can move things just by thinking in my head. But since I was gone for an hour, the cops naturally assume that I'm dead. I've only found one thing that'll make my power stop. It's the color red, which is really bad for a cop. You think I'm crazy, but I've turned into a super fuzz. Telekinesis, strength and speed and x-ray eyes where my old eyes was. If they make a movie of my life, it'll be quite a sight. Total shite. I give my sergeant full on creeps. I Thanos a stadium full of peeps. I read my comics on the ceiling of my downtown home. My partner thinks that I'm a douche, but he's in love with Rose LaBouche. He'll sit on ice for weeks while I sit on death row. You think I'm crazy, but I've turned into a super fuzz. Telekinesis, strength and speed and x-ray eyes where my old eyes was. If they make a movie of my life, it'll be quite a sight. Total shite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super snooper.
Oh my gosh, perfect ending. Super, super lady for the win there.
It's funny because usually we've been having more modern movies and you go with older songs. And this time you went with a not super modern, but much more modern than
more
to
modern
the
than usual. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was older movie. That was awesome. I loved it. Super total shite is correct, by the way, everybody.
Total shite.
The film we're talking about is the Sergio Corbucci classic super fuzz, aka
Western director. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was almost called something else. It was almost called Super Snooper. I don't understand the snooper bit. Can we, before I play the fake Fletcher, can someone explain the snooper part?
Detective. Like a detective. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's another term for detective is a snoop.
Italian.
This Italian writer director who we've seen before, right? We sacked Django, right?
Yeah,
I think we did.
Spaghetti Westerns.
We did thank Django. I didn't realize it was his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy doesn't speak English. Like you could tell. You just watch the movie, you could tell, oh, this guy doesn't speak English at all. And so he makes a movie called Poliziotto Supio, whatever the hell it's called, right?
And then
some, you know, sits down with some like English speaking producer, and what are we going to call this in English, right? And like, so they're watching the movie, and of course you would call it Super Snooper. Once you have a finished movie, right, with the music in it, and your editor has made the decision to have the word Super Snooper sung 200 times, right? Like,
just 200.
I mean, it felt like a lot more. Super! Yeah.
And the snooper part, like, it's meaningless, but it rhymes with trooper. And for some reason, they didn't decide to call it Super Trooper.
Well, even in the movie, I didn't capture it, but at least once somebody called him a Super Trooper. I think it was Borgnine at one point said, well, something about a Super Trooper. And I went, there's your name. And yes, it would have fouled up the future comedy guys who had their own movie idea with the name Super Trooper, but you could have locked it in. What the hell were you guys thinking?
I'm dependent on my my music people here, because I didn't look it up, but did the song come first, Super Snooper, or is the song specifically created?
The song was made for the movie. The song was definitely made for the movie. You can actually even find the
band was this?
Video. It was called Oceans, I think.
Okay. Were they Italian?
The
or
The Oceans or? Were the band.
The okay. Oceans. Were, not to be confused were they Italian? With the Billy Oceans.
The Billy Oceans.
The Billy
were the oceans,
oceans
Italian? Was there also
would,
another
I
language?
I would believe
area
it.
Thing?
I think it definitely sounded like Euro disco kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
They were German. German,
really? Okay.
Wait, all right.
Hold on. That can't be right.
That's interesting, because then that introduces a third level of confusion, right? Language barriers.
Oh, the whole movie is Italian German.
Like shot in Miami,
shot in Miami by people like it, with starring a man who also doesn't speak English.
It's
fun to listen to.
It's weird, man. English. Oh yeah, it's a real good time.
Might be Netherlands.
There's a that's there's a newer now. Band called The Ocean that's German.
Yeah, the label came from Duerco Benelux. The country that the album was released in initially was Netherlands, 1981, soundtrack disco. Wow, a lot of tracks, 8 tracks on this thing. I only think I ever heard one song.
I hope all is good as the one that they plastered all over the place. Did you guys watch this back in the day on... This was
Brian Dunaway.
Was
I need you to know, no one has ever watched this movie.
This thing used to come on the HBO all the time.
No, he's right. Dunaway's right. This was a staple on HBO, like
sure, but
every
no one watched
day.
It.
That's where I think I'd seen on. Chunks of it, like bits of it at my friend's house. Yeah, not the whole movie,
I can see if you're like having fever dreams or something, like you're staying home from school and mom's like, all right, I'll put HBO on because I know that nudie show Dream On doesn't show up until like after 6 p.m. So and then Super Fuzz / Snooper comes on maybe a couple times during the day.
My grandparents had cable, but it was basic cable. And I don't know if they were stealing it or what, but they had HBO. So it was like, so during the daytime, it was either turn on HBO and see some weird shit and leave it running, or watch soap operas, because that was about the only thing
that's what you had during the day. Yeah, you didn't have anything else. Yeah. So that's true. I think I saw chunks of this, pieces of it.
As a kid, it's fun.
It's fine as a kid. As a kid, I probably enjoyed the times I glanced at the TV while we weren't, you know, looking at a comic book or whatever the hell we were up to.
Yeah.
But here's the thing though. This movie is very, very bad. By any measure, okay? But it's some of the...
Very bad movie.
It's some of the most stupid fun I've had watching the Film Sack movie in a while. Like, I really enjoyed the process of this garbage. The only complaint I have is the version that we told everybody to watch is over on Prime, and it's called Super Snooper on Prime. When you search for it on Just Watch, it comes up as Super Fuzz, and you click it takes you to this Super Snooper thing. I'm not surprised now why so many people pinged us on socials and stuff going, this thing says Super Snoopers. That's the same movie. Like, everybody got confused about this. I don't know why they can't just pick
it. The presence of Ernest Borgnine, like seeing his name come up, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm in the right place because I'm seeing Borgnine's name.
Same. And the Amazon version is like this 4x3 crop version that they must have ripped from a VHS, because I was shocked to find a far superior version on YouTube. I couldn't believe that they it almost like it's been remastered, but I'm like, no one in their right mind would take their time to find this and remaster it. But it is lovingly preserved.
Yeah, and you guys put up the comparison. I couldn't believe how much better the YouTube version looked. One of usually that is somebody holding up a camera to their TV and recording.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's multiple different versions on YouTube. I apparently found one that I didn't think was that good, and I just went back to Amazon Prime. But Dunaway found one that looks fantastic, and I can't help but think this is like the work of AI, right? Like you have people who they take a crappy looking movie and run it frame by frame through something that's touching it up and making.
And this is going to be the AI that's going to destroy us. The one we trained on Superfuzz.
Yeah. It'll be the most repetitive and sings a certain thing in our ear every 5 seconds.
It'll be the most angry AI in the future. Yeah. How dare you do this to me?
I deserve to die.
I wish I would have known. Well, I know you said there was supposedly a good version on YouTube, and I never just bothered to go look, because in my head I'm like, well, the premium service I pay for, they must have the version that everybody would rather see.
Oh yeah.
Turns out no.
I expect.
Right. Yeah. Which is funny, because like the reason that it's available on YouTube for free is because it's on Amazon Prime. Like it's because it's owned by Amazon. People over here on the Google property are like, we're gonna get away with anything we want.
Yes, we're gonna out. I'm sure there's a huge meeting about making sure we have a better version of Hot Fuzz or whatever the hell. I'm saying Super Fuzz.
The kind of guy at his house who would run this thing through an AI touch up for 72 days of computational time.
Yeah,
and then upload it to YouTube. Picks YouTube because he knows that no one's gonna take it down quickly.
Yeah, it's more of the kind of thing you'd see over on Daily Motion. I'm a little surprised it's on YouTube, but. Also, I don't know. I can't imagine there's too much of a freak out there about who's got the rights to this piece of shit.
The popularity rating on IMDb did not go up this week on Superfuzz.
No,
because of our watching.
No.
Well, and I want to get right to the first question I wrote down, and I underlined it like several times. And that's did we know before we sat down and watched this movie this week, did we know that Ernest Borgnine is terrible? Like, he's like not good at the job of being an actor.
I mean, he's good in the right movies. I like him.
Yeah. But I mean, he doesn't, there's not a whole ton of range with Borgnine. Like his character in Convoy, his character in the Poseidon Adventure.
Airwolf.
Airwolf. I think it's all Ernest Borgnine, and he's just like, yeah, what do you want me to read? Sure, I'll read it.
He's Borgnine. Okay. And I read a little bit of trivia about this. I didn't go too deep, but apparently some people were saying, criticizing this film, because they said it was just a bunch of older actors that they were all trying to give money to act and just give them one more job, you know? And it wasn't even, it was nothing more than that. Just a way to employ all of his friends.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, you say that, but like Joanne Drew as Jack Donaghy's mom, she is acting circles around the rest of this cast.
With what little she has to say. Yeah. She's pretty good. But they don't give her much. I mean, she's barely in there, feels like, anyway.
No, her whole job is to wear red and to hold red.
Yeah, to hold red, to be red. Yeah.
What's my character's motivation? The color red. Yeah. Just go with it.
Let's get this fake Fletcher out of the way. So, I don't know if I told you guys this, but the AI thing I used to use to produce Mario's thing, they banned the Mario voice because they can tell that that it was trained on Mario. So...
freaking Bowser.
So I did this instead.
Red powder from a nuclear explosion gives a police officer superpowers as long as he doesn't see anything red. He is eventually framed for murder and is unsuccessfully executed by many different methods. Congratulations, everyone. This is one of the worst film sec movies in a decade.
There you go.
The fact I recognized this voice before you even tell me that this is Brian Ibbett Duantina's voice programmed into an AI is amazing.
Oh, okay.
That's 100% what that is.
I don't know what interview you're talking about. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, and it's
by the way, between Randy and I, one of us is joking.
Yeah.
Right.
Guess which one? I think it's you. Sorry. Go
sometimes
ahead, Randy.
It's like it's just a little bit, it's far enough off that your brain doesn't make the connection. You know what I mean? Like there's just something where it makes a decision.
It's uncanny valley, man. It's like the audio version of that.
Red powder from red powder. Red powder.
I freaking love it. It's a fine alternative.
By the way, while we were listening to that, I did pull up, there was a thing I remember that we were talking about Ernest Borgnine. I remember him talking about his secret to longevity, and it came up, I think this was a frequent audio clip that they would play on, or a frequent video clip that they would play on The Soup, but that's 14 seconds long, Scott, if you want to play Ernest Borgnine's secret to longevity
Absolutely. What year was, do we know when this was recorded? Just curious. Do we know that?
I don't know.
Not that it matters.
Years ago, looks like it.
Okay. Yeah. He died not too terribly long ago. All right, here we go. Okay. I'll play it.
You're 91 years old. You look fantastic. You look like you're in your late 60s, early 70s. What's the secret?
I don't dare tell you.
No meat. You don't eat meat.
I masturbate a lot.
Oh, my gosh, really?
He did. He said what?
He said I masturbate a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said he messed the bed a lot. I like his much better.
Yeah.
But he whispers it in the interviewer's ear, not realizing that he's putting himself really close to the lav mic.
I love that, dude. Oh my gosh.
And I want it to be true.
Oh, I think it might be. I don't know. When you whisper something like that, thinking nobody can hear you, usually, I don't know.
I want to kind of go back to something I said a little while ago, which is like that Ernest Borgnine is like bad at this, because he has some things that he definitely brings to the table. Like he can make a funny face, and you know my grandpa could make a really funny face.
He can mug,
And like I can kind of see it, you know, when Ernest Borgnine does it. Yeah. I'm kind of like, oh, this reminds me of other people that I've known who I think are funny and like endearing.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. And like he definitely isn't never taking himself seriously, which this kind of movie needs, right? Yeah. Because I'm forgetting the name of the lead guy.
Vincent, hold on, what's his name? Terrence Hill.
Officer Speed.
Terrence Hill.
Officer Speed has the opposite problem. He seems like he's taking himself seriously while trying to look like he isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like this really mixed look. Every time you see Officer Speed, you're like, so does he know he has powers? You can't really understand his performance.
Well, Ibbot made the perfect comparison in our Discord before, during the week when you mentioned The Room. So yes, this makes The Room look like Oppenheimer was the joke, but this is also parallel to The Room in very specific ways. This guy feels like Tommy Wiseau doing stuff. It feels like that kind of delivery. Like, it feels like that kind
I've
of project.
I got my own money invested in this pet project kind of thing.
Yeah, it 100% felt like that. And it's interesting that everybody brings up The Room, but nobody ever talks about Super Fuzz. And maybe that's just because it's that old, you know?
Yeah, it's just no one's seen it.
Yeah, nobody's seen everybody, it. Exactly. The Room
everybody saw The Room back in like 2012 to 2014 for some reason.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
It'd be like making the joke with Troll 2. Like, you know, a very select group of people have seen Troll 2, but everybody's seen The Room.
Yeah, and The Room came out, what, 03 or something? So it's, you know, it's just more poised for more play at a different time, whereas this wasn't. But I came out of this going, well, those two movies are basically the same. Like... you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same story, but it's just there's the same quality here.
There's a little exactly. There's far less naked getting it on with the woman you hired to be your leading lady.
And when they got up on that, I mean, I laughed out loud, and I haven't laughed this heartily for a while. It was when they got the balloon going. That stupid effing balloon.
God.
Oh yeah.
That balloon was so bad.
It's really impressive that he had the foresight while sitting in the electric chair to ask for a piece of gum, and he happened to be given a piece of gum that weighs, you know, several hundred pounds,
large enough to expand into that shape with and even be supported by several seams all around it to support the weight of two.
Yeah,
I want to point something out before we get too far away from The Room. I just want to point out, for some reason, The Room settled at 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. I don't understand. How can a quarter of professional movie reviewers give this a a positive review.
Because those aren't. That's, well, okay. So 3.6 on IMDb. That sounds right because that's user reviews. Wait, is that, how can that be, Randy? Hold on.
I don't know. It was lower. It was lower when we sacked it. I'm sure that it was used to be lower, but it's gotten to 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. They have to be kidding.
Right? They have to be playing us or something. That's jacked.
Yeah, and Superfuzz is at 14%, which, again, like that 1 out of 7 seemed to like the Superfuzz.
Yeah. Tommy Wiseau. By the way, Tommy Wiseau's IMDb photo. He's got a real. Who's the lead singer for Kiss? Can't think of his name all of a sudden. Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley.
Yeah, if you guys go look at that photo of him, he is. He looks like Paul Stanley today. Put him in the Paul Stanley biopic. Be all set to go.
Jeez.
Anyway, it's a weird little movie. And it is a thing I remember of my childhood. Now here's the other thing. I remember everybody saying that this was like somehow really subversive and your parents wouldn't let you watch it kind of movie. And I don't remember why. Like, because there's nothing in here that's
I don't know there's no controversy. I mean, you know, there's a guy who's selling dogs by the crate, but that's about the worst this thing ever gets.
Gambling in the back of a truck.
There's, yeah. In my head, it was like, you know, National Lampoon level, like R-rated, tomfoolery, whatever. And it's not that at all. This is like the most innocuous like thing.
Watching the Three Stooges kind of thing.
Nowadays, I dare you to put a kid in front of this movie and they don't look at their phone the whole time. I dare you. Try to keep them off their phone while this movie's
going. Even when you think it's going to be like, oh, okay, here's why, you know, this is maybe a little bit controversial. And they show the sign for the strip club that has parking until 5 a.m.
That's right. There are go-go girl scene.
There are go-go girls.
He goes in the strip club.
It's the most well-lit strip club ever.
Yeah, there's one woman. Yeah. There's one woman. She's about 50. She's not dancing so much as kind of like just like wiggling a little bit.
Let me frame it for you a little bit. Ernest Borgnine was talking about pleasing himself for longevity. Let me tell you something. In the 1980s, the only access our young minds had was the JCPenney catalog. Yeah, so I mean, when you compare it to that,
JCPenney. Yeah. Oh man, what a sad statement that is that you just made.
Mom, I'm gonna take the bra section to my room for a little bit. Right. I'll be right back.
Now this is a bummer though. This Joanne Drew lady that you mentioned, Randy. She's got a big career. 1922 to 96.
Rose LaBouche.
Yeah, she worked for a long time in Hollywood. All sorts of stuff like All the King's Men, Red River, 7-Eleven, Ocean Drive. These are old movies, but really well regarded 40s and 50s films. This is her last thing she did. I'm going out Raul Julia style in the worst movie I can find.
Gene Hackman style.
Yep. See you later, Mooseport. I'm done. But
if you haven't seen this movie, but you have seen 30 Rock, she is the template for Jack Donaghy's mom in 30 Rock.
Like
based the whole character on.
Oh, that's interesting.
This character in this movie. It's kind of amazing.
She's very, and she played a lot of that sort of, I don't know. I guess there are other actresses doing this too, but very vampy, very important sort of acting. It's hard to explain. It's a thing of the 50s. I can't think of even who used to do it, like Joanne Woodward maybe, or somebody who's just very, yes, bring me my bags, sir, you know, my good man. Like a lot of that kind of bullshit. That's kind of her gig. And she did it again here with her LaBouche or whatever her name was. What was it?
LaBouche.
Yeah, Rosie LaBouche. What a stupid name.
Nah.
No. That's really stupid.
It's not even like it's, you know, usually you've got these things like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have an officer named Speed. You know, they're not even clever, obvious puns. Not even clever, you know, we've got an opportunity to just go really over the top with a character name. And the best they come up with is Speed and LaBouche.
You have Speed and Dunlop are the two cops. Yeah. You have Rosie LaBouche is the strange Hollywood actress.
Yeah.
You have the only bad guy is named Tony Torpedo.
Tony Torpedo, right.
And then you have literally the Three Stooges. I'm not kidding. Right. If you haven't seen this movie, you cannot understand how completely this movie inserts the Three Stooges into the movie.
Yeah.
Wild.
And they're very Italian.
I hit him with a guitar.
Yeah. Well, that guy, the main guy is always, he was very like, listen here, say yeah. He was doing that whole thing. But his one guy was like, what you want me to do next, boss? Like, he was just like the most Italian stereotype you've ever heard. And I'm pretty sure that maybe was just him. Like, I don't think he was
it
even.
It also was very, like, ADR was so, I don't know if there was anything where you actually heard the original audio from the film. It feels like it was all ADR over the top of things.
And very low quality, by the way. Not
very
good.
Low quality, not matching up mouth movements, anything like that. And so I imagine it was like, can you come in and maybe just do something that sounds a little bit more Italian? Like, mm-hmm. Babada boobada kind of stuff. Babada boobada.
But yeah, not only that,
he's Italian, so he wouldn't say it like that if it was.
Yeah,
maybe Seth Rogen might say something like that.
Maybe Dunaway can tell us. But was the YouTube sound quality any better? Because the stuff on Prime,
everything was better. Yeah, everything was better on the YouTube version. Now, of course, Randy was joking about the AI and stuff. I really think they had some kind of master copy or something from somewhere that in somebody's archive and made it a beautiful copy. Maybe there's a Blu-ray version. I don't know. Somebody loves this movie out there somewhere. Actually, a lot of people love this movie for weird reasons.
Was it ever on? It may have been on DVD at some point. And that's a pretty decent DVD. You could do a DVD upscale on the output or something. So
But the sound was good. It was full widescreen. You could see you could see everything. Did it really make the movie better? Not really, but at least it was more tolerable.
The quality always improves the experience, but it's not going to change the acting or the story.
The sound quality is what's important here, because like, it doesn't really matter if you're seeing clearly what you're seeing. Because like,
I'm going to disagree. I think it does.
This movie doesn't depend on visual gags. For some reason, this movie depends entirely on this person, you know, this lead actor who, between sounding Italian and sounding German, right? Mm. What's in between Italy and Germany? Austria. He comes out sounding Austrian.
Yeah.
And so there's this quality to him where you're like, oh, it's like a young Schwarzenegger every now and then, you know?
I guess I kind of see that. Because it isn't quite, it's like a very non-specific accent. And maybe that's because it's Austrian, right? It just doesn't feel right either way, in either direction.
Like early Arnold stuff where it just sounded so bad. Yeah. And then later, I don't know if we just got used to it or he got better at delivering it or whatever, but we were okay with it later.
The movie never acknowledges it. It just, you know, it pretends like he's supposed to be he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Out of the police academy.
First assignment is to go investigate
the Native Americans have a parking ticket. That's the whole setup.
Which you can only get to by boat, apparently.
Yeah.
They have a parking ticket. So
with Florida Gators. So let's set up the story here. So you got to get, he's out delivering parking tickets to some Native Americans who live in the swamp. I don't know how they got a parking ticket. I guess whatever. The point
they
is,
they put their car on one of those hydrofoils and drive it to the coast. Yeah. And then,
And NASA is doing an experiment with bombarding the planet with some kind of plutonium red gamma something rays.
You've already gotten so much more out of this film than I
I'm like, we'll see the quality. I can see it and hear it.
Yeah, apparently the YouTube, that was the whole thing, the problem,
right? And I was like, okay, this is where we're starting, but that's to explain his superpowers. This is actually a better origin story than some superheroes I've seen.
I'm kidding.
Shazam.
Maybe if you edited the Amazon where your father died because he was working with your mom and discovering spiders or whatever it was. Yeah.
So somehow the government had evacuated the natives that were living in this area,
but we're very unhappy.
The agent of the government wasn't told.
The local police force, because it was top secret. They kept trying to explain their own reasoning right in the movie, and it was kind of hilarious. How was I supposed to know? That was one of my favorites of Ernest Borgnine when they were like, it's top secret, didn't you know? How was I supposed to know? It's top secret.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
He yelled a lot. He yelled so much. He was so, I know we're used to that from him. If you want to see his best performance, I think it was in SpongeBob toward the end when he was doing Seaweed Man or whatever the hell the name was. I don't remember the name.
Oh, that was so good.
Barnacle Boy and what's Oh, shit. Well, whatever it was. He was fantastic.
I wonder if he got
it.
That job before or after his longevity talk.
by the looks of that video, I'd say during.
Okay. During, yeah, probably. Right. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, you know, Barnacle or Mermaid Man, that was it. Mermaid Man was constantly jacking it on the set of SpongeBob.
I'm trying to live longer. Get out of here.
Yeah. Do you think they said, hey, Ernest, do you mind washing your hands before you step in the booth and handle the microphone to do the voiceover work, please?
Thanks. Where have you been? I'm on the website. It says I need money. You got $50? Give me $50.
But his
go step in the bathroom and live longer.
His whole role was to be skeptical. That was his whole role, right? It's like, yeah, I'm not believing none of this. You ain't got powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
he's also trying to convince.
I don't know if I brought it up before. I think I have maybe with the other stuff, but just do yourselves a favor, everybody. Seek out his mid-90s documentary series that is Ernest Borgnine on the road in the Midwest. And it's just him in an RV driving it. And these documentaries drive around and he just visits people and shakes their hand and talks to them about his movies and this. It is one of the weirdest, cathartic, weird little things you'll ever find. It's on YouTube or something. I don't know. I don't even know what it's called. But it's Ernest Borgnine on the road. Do yourselves a favor. Sorry, you were saying something and I cut you off.
Yeah, but even after, you know, you talk about his role in the film is to be the skeptic, is to be the, no, I don't think you've got these powers. But then, you know, once he does finally see that, oh, yeah, okay, he does have powers, he still is like, yeah, don't show anybody. Don't do this in front of people. Yeah. Don't do anything. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, you guys are becoming the most loved cops on the force because you're seeing crimes before they are, you know, as they're getting committed. Hey, a little Minority Report there, Brian. You know, spotting gambling going on. That gambling going on in the truck is the funniest thing, because all I can visualize is before they open the truck, people are bouncing off the walls and hitting the floor.
That
and,
is, yeah, and it's so
chips
improbable.
And cards are going everywhere.
It is so, that is such a freaking 70s idea that a bunch of elderly retired people are in the back of a moving freaking semi truck doing, you can't, it'd be impossible.
No, you can't do it. Yeah. You can't do that. Yeah. Not even close. And also, lest we forget, I know we've been giving Ernest Borgnine kind of a hard time for being one note. Guy won a Best Actor Oscar in 1956 for his role in Marty. So yeah. That dude had a statue, man.
Oh, he's fine. He's fine.
I need to go back and look at that.
He masturbated with it.
What if he's playing a character who's mute and like he won on pure gestures? I don't know.
What if he uses that to, you know, to
but he polishes that statue all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
My favorite performance was the parts when he was was stopping the bank robbery and they had him spread eagle on the he had to spread himself there as he was held hostage.
Yeah.
And my God, the way he was doing it, he looked like he was
not a very flattering pose.
He was leaning way too, he was putting the butt way too far out there for put your hands up.
You joked in your intro about the police station being way like on the third or fourth floor. Why was the bank? How is the bank on like the eighth floor of a building?
Yeah, right.
What was that all about?
That was the execution chamber of a prison.
Yeah.
Several floors. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, that was weird. All of the locations were weird. Nothing felt right. You know? Maybe the road, the roads and the streets, okay, fine. But anytime they had a headquarters or a place to go, it was all wrong.
I actually like that, because it felt immediately when I was watching this, I was like, wow, I'm getting to see real street people. Those background actors are not background actors. They set up their camera one day in, you know, 1979, and just people walking down the street were like, what's going on? And you get to see that in this.
Those were probably patrons at the saddest strip club in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can we go back to the execution chamber for a second? Are we to believe that, you know, these innocent people who you know, were executing him because they thought he killed somebody, that he turned the electricity on them to kill them back for that?
Or something?
I don't know.
Right.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah. I think it's funnier if we don't explore it too deeply. And I'm really serious about this, because this movie establishes one of the best superhero rules ever and then breaks the rule so many times that it's like you could just hate it. You could throw your phone at the freaking television. if you get too hung up on that, when he sees red, he loses his powers. That rule
or when,
is
or when red is just
great.
On his feet, when he doesn't look down at the boa at his feet, but it's still affecting him because it's something red. Like, and he's on by the way, he was on an airplane for quite a while that had big red stripes.
Big red stripes on it. Oh. The whole plane. Like, lame. And how would does this movie not? Maybe the director was colorblind. I've considered that. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Hey, can you find me the plane that does not have a red stripe on it?
I did like that plane though. That plane was a perfect prop because they needed a stuntman to stand on the back of it.
So they walked around and they found a plane with a platform on it.
Yeah. Plus, you gotta. Here's the problem when you say a color does a thing. This is also my problem with Superman or anyone else, or not Superman. He does gold, yellow sun.
Green Lantern. RGB,
red, green, blue. That's in every spectrum. Yeah. It's all a mix. Yes. And so you would always have some red, always have some green. You'd never not have the things. Yellow would always be present and always be screwing with Green Lantern, right?
So
when you do that, it just comes from a place of like, I don't know how stuff works, so we'll just make it red. That really bugs me. I don't like it.
I think what we watched was the dying moments from Officer Speed, because I think he's actually dead out there in the bayou somewhere.
The movie after he gets bombed.
Yes.
Is his final like fantasy he has as
yes.
he dies.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, right. Interesting. I looked over at Tina. So, you know, when he.
You still here?
Yeah, I kind of did. But when he goes to save, to catch Ernest Borgnine, runs into the field, and Ernest Borgnine apparently falls fast enough and hard enough with force to push them through the earth
to China.
Before any of that, when they were looking down, I was like, oh my God, if they kill the two of them, this all of a sudden is the best movie I've ever seen.
Right.
Imagine if,
because they finally figured out a way to surprise me with this stupid thing.
Right. Imagine if the red boa prevented him from having powers and Ernest Borgnine's force hitting him just made a small crater, just a little bit of a crater. Yeah. And their two destroyed bodies are in the middle of the crater.
Terminal velocity, like roll credits. Bodies, and it's Super Trooper.
Super Pooper.
Dude, I'd be so into that. Gosh dang it. That's a brilliant
all of a sudden
idea.
It just becomes the best movie ever.
Yeah, I would be really into that. That's freaking great. I had it handy too. I was just going to play it. Where is it? Oh, shoot. I've been meaning to play this the whole damn time. Here it is. Super, super. Is this how bad the sound was? Super, super, super. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. Is there a name for that? I would like to know. I looked all over for like there to be an industry term for when you do a drum beat, but it's
what do they call a hi-hat, or not a hi-hat, they call like a
drum, what's that called but I'm bumped
rim shot.
So it's basically a vocal rim shot,
And I'm sure I've seen and heard it before, right? Like this isn't the only time you've ever seen a joke end over and over and over with the same sort of sound
I'm
or whatever.
Sure that, yeah, I, it is a familiar thing. I couldn't think of what it is, but there is a very familiar thing.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another example of it, but absolutely we've seen something like that before.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the opening credits, though. Even though the song was annoying, I immediately was like,
"Wait, just a minute! Hold on,
I need everyone's
honest opinion about the first 2 minutes of the movie."
Okay,
the opening credits. So
the opening credits. You enjoyed the
halftone,
weird halftone, pink and black checkerboard pattern showing you scenes from the movie you're about to watch.
With
that music in the background.
Yeah, you like
I
that.
Did because of the artistry that had to go into that. Now, it's just a freaking filter in our modern day society, right? You just go, do this dumbass filter. That took somebody work. and I was impressed.
I mean, impressed. For this,
just
for,
because something takes somebody a long time to do doesn't make it good.
He was impressed. I was impressed.
I'll say this. It was a thing that doing that in the late 70s for your movie to come out in 1980 is probably a lot harder than I think it is. And so in that way, I'll give him some credit. But it just gave me a headache and made me want to die. I didn't like it.
Like you could gaffer tape a camera to the top of a police car and just drive through the streets of Miami and roll your credits over that, just fine. That would have been a fine intro. Play the music, sure, whatever.
You could do the thing the Naked Gun did, only more
the Naked Gun thing was great, where the police car goes through the car wash and it's out in space,
right? But just like you don't have to have that. You just have it drive around. It doesn't have to be funny, right? It could just
right
be...
That's what I mean. Yeah, have it where you see the siren and or the flashing lights, which are red, by the way. But again, bad choice for a cop.
Yeah.
But driving around through the streets of Miami, nighttime, daytime, whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, we're setting up for a comedy cop film. Cool. Yeah. But that weird checkerboard paint job filter.
I liked it. And maybe it's just because I appreciated the work.
And how much effort does it take just to take the video from the film and just put a filter? I mean, obviously, it's not a filter.
Yeah, that's like I said, so easy now.
A Final Cut thing now, but yes.
Yeah.
But
in 1979, they
painstakingly paint each frame of film to get it
back. I'd actually be curious about what technique they use, because I couldn't even tell. I really don't know. I don't know how
it's
they did it.
It's got to be a projection technique. They're projecting it through something and then filming the projection.
Probably. Well, that makes sense. But it has the effect I think they were aiming for. But it's just, in retrospect, maybe do something else.
I think for this movie, I was kind of impressed with a couple of things. I was impressed somewhat by the stunts. Not all the stunts were great, but for the time, it was pretty impressive. Especially that one where he was doing the mental mind movement of the moving truck to really stick it to that guy who was illegally parking.
Yeah, right.
That was kind of cool. How he like pushed it into
the
parking spot,
basically parallel parking it into the tiny spot.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
pretty neat.
I am very interested in this guy's powers.
Right,
movie. I'm way more interested in this guy's powers than the movie is, and that's like, that's a dangerous place to be, because you can't keep me constantly entertained by making me ask questions like, well, why didn't he just do this or that? You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, I give up on you. Because you're not thinking about all of this as much as I am, movie maker.
Did the stadium? Because at first I was like, "Oh shit, this guy is all powerful. He just made an entire stadium full of people disappear." But then I'm like, "No, maybe he's just messing with her mind and his mind."
Yeah.
But then I'm like, "No, he saw the guy with the red shirt, and that comes back later." And
any positivity I have for the movie, exactly.
She saw it is a different thing.
Yeah, that tells you something else. But it's all pigs. It's all lipstick on a pig here at this point. This movie's that bad.
It really is. Would you all agree though that his best power is doing two little hang loose things with his hands?
That was so cool.
His thumb, and he was doing calling all cars by doing a little pinky to thumb business there.
Yeah, he was doing so very 80s. So because like you want to extend your antenna. So he's doing the universal hand gesture for talking on the phone, right, with his pinky and his thumb.
Yeah.
But then he connects them together and hooks into the plane's electrical equipment. Yeah, I guess.
Yes. Sure.
Calling all cars.
Yeah. I still haven't. I still haven't got my eyes back in their original position because they rolled so hard. Because that was really, really freaking dumb.
Up until that point in time, they kind of straddled a little bit of, you know, riding along with superhero powers.
It's a Superman.
And, you know,
I mean, it's basically Superman, right? The running at super speed, the not hurting yourself when the dummy you've made of yourself goes out of a window through a wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so he gets super speed, he gets the ability to fly, he gets telekinesis.
We talked about super reaction time with the bullet, catching the bullets into the gun.
We talked about how he became a precog. That's different than telekinesis.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And he hypnotizes somebody.
Little Me Too action there with that. Tina's not like fine with that business.
Yeah. That wasn't good. That was kind of nasty. I mean, I don't know, like a different time and everything, but also, somebody who worked on everybody that worked on this film, has no idea how the court systems work, because you don't have a trial that that quick. B, it's a capital murder case, and C, the judge doesn't like slam his gavel down and say, "You're dying. See ya. You're going to be executed." Right. And they also don't do it the next week either. Like, all that stuff was bullshit.
No. They did it four times in the next few days. Like, we're on his fourth attempt to get killed while Ernest Borgnine is sitting at the bottom of the ocean alive.
Apparently in like a stasis, like a hyperbaric chamber in that bottom of that boat.
Yeah, it was dumb. Also, the slap the slap fight, that was dumb. Very dumb, the slap fight. I hated that. I recorded some of it, but it's very, very stupid.
It definitely provided a lot of fodder for you to pull quotes. Like, there are some.
Oh, I know. I can't wait for the audio. Yeah.
There's some winners in there, but there's a lot of it is just so punctuated with that same song. Like, at some point, I don't care what kind of filmmaker you are, you're making your movie and you're using the same song 50 times. You got to have regrets, man.
Did he edit it? I mean, he had total control. Come on. This guy was, at this point in time, I think this director was capable of, you know, doing whatever he basically wanted to.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely
as far as within the budget of you know, this movie.
Yeah. But why would you want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, why would you want to have this song?
I know, it's kind of interesting because I tried to frame it with what we were seeing, like, on TV. I'm sure he was aware of Wonder Woman, you know, and every time Wonder Woman kind of started to use her powers, you know, she'd always have to do the little spin and the music will play. And that's when you knew that the high drama was coming on with the action. So I just tried to frame it in that and thought, you know, that wasn't out of line, maybe a little overused. Okay, a lot overused.
Yeah, a lot overused.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much, there were 8 songs on the soundtrack apparently, and they just used one. They only used whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just,
I'm sure he had final approval, right? I mean, this director definitely had final approval over this. This is nothing but a bunch of friends. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell yeah. If he didn't, I'd be surprised.
People he'd worked with right, sure.
Yeah. Now, that guy, the Terrence Hill guy, he's a good looking dude. All right. I will give him that. I loved it.
Great smile.
At this time, he's pretty good looking.
The smile is, how many years have ravaged him at this point, Randy?
Well, he's still alive. He's still around.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Years have ravaged him. Yeah.
Looks like 84. Yeah. He's 84.
Yeah. He's a lot older now. Yeah. But for a hot minute there, you know, blue eyes, blonde hair, looking cool.
Great.
And then he opened
his
mouth. Opened his mouth and he went, "Oh, never mind. Don't talk. Don't say words."
Again, you have to forgive the guy. English is his third language. He grew up speaking Italian natively and then German because his parents moved the family to Germany when he was a kid. And so, like, you can understand, right? Like, Schwarzenegger's a great model for this. You have, you know, like, you have to learn the language, but he's being asked to do too much.
Yeah.
This is way outside of his comfort zone.
He went on to do some other stuff too that wasn't quite as shitty, you know?
Yeah. I liked his performance in this. I mean, it was light and fun, and I always kept it was exactly what it was supposed to be, just a silly freaking comedy that.
A little
light fare,
zany romp is what it was.
Yeah. You guys want to see an amazing poster that was made for this? I don't even know what country this is.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
You guys are going to lose your shit. Hold on a second.
Tell me it's painted by Drew Struzan and we've got a deal.
I wish it was, dude. I wish this was what that was, but I don't know where this is, what language that is. But look at that.
I love it.
Look at that thing. Isn't that great?
That's the great. It's a spoiler for the last minute of the film.
Yeah, it is.
Looks like Michael Jackson almost. He's kind of like a Michael.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Michael Jackson crossed with John Travolta.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Did you guys? I'm sorry to derail us, but did you guys hear they're making a face? It's green lit. They're doing a face off two. Face off two is happening.
Yeah.
What the frick, dude? I'm both face excited and terrified at the same time.
Face offs.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just going to let their faces sag off, and that'll be the whole movie. That'll be great.
Sag off.
Sag off. Sag on. The sagger. Anyway, any other burning thoughts?
Let's finish that one.
Yeah, thank you. Any other burning thoughts before we move on to our clips section of the show? Anybody got anything?
I hope you captured her pronunciation of the appliance cuisine art.
Oh, absolutely, that was good. That was great.
Cuisine art.
No need to take a second take there, lady. Just go ahead and say your first bad take.
Captain has sweaty pits, eating flower mm-hmm. petals for some reason. Like yeah. he ate everything, but the weird things like the whipped raw egg whites, the flower petals, right. selling dogs
by the
crate.
We did notice the flower petal eating, but I mean, it's not like, it wasn't outrageous. It was just like, but why? You just questioning, right? It wasn't like,
oh yeah,
it didn't have anything to do with his power.
I mean, the whole that whole scene, right? Because he's eating flower petals, munching them like popcorn, while he makes the Three Stooges guys do a little can-can dance for some reason, and then basically watches them back into another car so he can arrest them.
Yeah, yeah, all of that stuff was ridiculous.
I do not understand why you would do conventional fighting if you had those powers.
Like, sure. Yeah.
Like, he's just like messing around fighting people when you just like end it. You can end it in so many ways. You could make,
yeah,
drop the house on them or whatever.
It becomes a very different movie if he just kind of waves his hands and they all just like drop to the ground, right?
Yeah. Right. They all explode. Mm.
This is kind of the answer. This is kind of the answer to what if someone who is unmotivated suddenly received, uncreative as well, suddenly received superhero powers. Because he doesn't aspire to anything beyond his day job, right? Or
I bet you're going to be finish that with somebody so uninspired and unmotivated created a movie. That's how
that too. That is a superpower. That is a superpower. But it's an uninspired look at what you might do with your superpowers if you had them. It's
sure,
just, you
sure.
Know, sure. I'd futz around.
I actually feel like that's the great summary. The substance of the film is in conflict with the direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a constantly, you're constantly like, ooh, this is interesting. But then the filmmakers themselves are like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. Look away.
Yeah. It's not interesting at all. You think it is. It isn't.
But now, I think we mentioned Mark Lawrence briefly earlier, who is the bad guy here. He's going to show up a couple more times and already has once in some 007 stuff. The Man with the Golden Gun and Diamonds Are Forever. So
yeah, I felt like I've seen him around. Seen him in other stuff. Yeah,
he's been around in tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Tons of stuff.
Him and
Dust to Dawn we watched here.
Who's the other guy? Is it Tony Torpedo?
Tony Torpedo. That's who I was talking
that's
about.
Who you're talking
Tony
about, Mark
Torpedo,
Lawrence?
We've okay. seen in a bunch of stuff, yeah.
There's another guy, the chief of police guy, or the guy that seemed to be in charge of everything. I felt like I'd seen him, or at least heard his voice before. I could not place it, and I never really... I'm still not sure who he is, because he's not a main credit and has no IMDb shit in there. So
I don't know, but I love the guy, Herb Goldstein. Perfect name, by the way. That's his real name. He was he's the guy on the street that tells that keeps running into him, and he's the one who tells our hero that he's allergic to red, or whatever you want to say. What was it, Sylvius? That's who was being chased. Apparently he had sold the Tony Torpedo a chihuahua they said could talk or something. I know too much about this plot. I told this what I do when I go to sleep. Think about plots.
I understand, right? I don't blame you. Real quick here, do you guys know, I guess he worked with that director a ton, Terrence Hill did, and he's got a bunch of these looking things. Like, here's one called, let's see, Who Finds a Friend Finds a Treasure.
That's his buddy he works with a lot.
Yeah,
Bud Spencer, and they do a couple of cop movies together too, I think.
Yeah, I think this was his whole thing, his whole gig was to...
It was kind of like well, who were the two guys who did like The Road to... Was that Sinatra and Crosby or something? It was... Mm. Or it was Bing Crosby and... Not Sinatra. But they did The Road to Rio and The Road to Cairo and stuff like that. The stuff that they make fun of on Family Guy all the time with Stewie and Brian.
This cover's great because there's no way you would not just live at your chiropractor's if you did this with your arm. That guy holding up his...
I know. He holds up the weight... Bud Spencer's character on this poster is holding up the weight of the hammocks there.
Why would you do that? That's just
a physical impossibility.
He has the superpowers. He is the superpower.
Oh, good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just going to go ahead and say we should never see this.
I'm watching it maybe. Today.
No, I don't.
Okay. Hope you find a really good YouTube quality.
I'm sure it will. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This is actually reviewed pretty well. 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Terrence Hill is likable, you know, and Sergio Corbucci does, you know, he knows his audience.
Oh, there's a whole series, a collection. Okay, you're right. There's a whole, nine DVD collection of these. Yeah, I thought it was maybe one or two. I didn't realize it was, like, a ton of them like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a whole... Hey, Dunaway, I got a new goal for you for your collection. Look at this shit, dude. Look at this stack I'm going to put in here. This is the full collection of all of those hammocks.
Oh, look at that. The collector's box. That's actually looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a lot of dumb fun. You could watch it each week. Yeah. On Saturdays.
And apparently this whole hammock, two of them in a hammock thing, the movie you posted is so popular, they use it as the
that's the one
video, the image for the top of the box.
What if the entire box set is just these two guys in hammocks? Beginning to end, every single part.
Yeah.
By the way, my favorite 12-year-old version of this that I think is funny only because my brain is 12 years old is when you take the entire set of DVDs for the X-Files collection and you can mix them up so it says Sex Life. And you got a giant X for the...
Yeah.
I used to do that all the time.
Like awesome. That's what David Duchovny was like thinking about the whole time.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Sure he was.
X-Files fornication. Let's do some clips here. We got some clips. And there's some good ones in here, as you guys alluded to before. Let's start with this one with Rosie LaBouche.
I'm Rosie LaBouche.
Rosie LaBouche, suck it, baby.
Here's more beans.
More beans.
All right, more beans. Again, the audio transfer on Prime is terrible. I apologize. It's all shit.
You know who else Rosie LaBouche reminds me of? She reminds me of Archer's mom.
Oh. Mm. Oh.
Jessica Walter's character.
Yeah, I love her. She died. That's sad.
Yeah, the late great Jessica Walter.
She was amazing, dude. She's so good.
Yeah.
Here's Ernest Borgnine letting you know he's here.
Well, how was I to know that, Chief? I mean, you yourself just said it was top secret.
That right there is every line he ever delivers.
Right.
Yep. And the backing music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the backing music was almost as bad as the one they played all the time. It was all very bad.
It's like porno, like 70s porno music.
Really don't know what you mean when you say 70s porno music.
Yeah, you do.
Or would you like me to find a clip?
Somehow, I know precisely what you mean.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird. You know exactly. Let's see. You know what? I'll play some for us. I have some. Let's see. Where is it here? How about this? Whoops, there we go. Let me skip ahead a little. That's from an album called Getting Off.
I think I've got that too, yeah.
Ernest Borgnine listens to that all day.
The seductive sounds of 70s adult cinema, it says on that album.
This is basically, what can we do with a keyboard that is going to be so distracting?
Mm-hmm. It's amateur yacht rock. Yeah,
kind of.
I love the fact that you're zooming in on this guy's wedgie.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's amazing.
He has more fabric in his butt than around it.
What is this from? This isn't from the movie, is it?
It's from what's his name?
Oh, the girl.
IMDb.
It's the girl's IMDb.
From the girls. Yeah. Julie Gordon is that's her IMDb photo.
She's terrible, by the way. I don't want to look. I'm not trying to besmirch anyone personally, but she's very, very bad in this.
I thought she was fun.
No,
that's Evelyn Borgnine's niece.
I don't want to have a dating husband who is using his powers all the time.
That was better than her delivery.
That big reveal at the end. Did you not just die laughing when she had red hair?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I did not die laughing.
Dunaway, you are so forgiving of movies like this. I love that about you.
Yeah. How can you? Yeah.
I love it.
The end of the movie, though, skips over the 2 weeks it takes them to get home from China, in 1979.
Mm-hmm. And this is a movie
just
that goes
through the tunnel.
The straight through tunnel that just goes through the core of the earth.
Tunnel that goes through the magma core and everything.
Through the magma.
The magma. Oh, my God. This is the prequel to Kong, Godzilla, Monster Island. This is the creation, the access tunnel for the Hollow Earth.
Oh, yeah.
This is how it happens.
And Core, the movie Core from 2003.
So this is yet another sequel to Oppenheimer.
Oh, good. Correct. Yeah. Fantastic. It's all connected to Oppenheimer at the end. All right. Let's see. We also have, where the hell did my thing go? Okay, here we go. Here's some more inner dialogue poorly spoken by our main actor.
I could hardly believe it. I got the cover back into place just by thinking about it. But then I realized something incredible, something extraordinary had happened to me.
Yeah, And then we'd really
try new fitness bars from like a 70s Nutri-Grain bar commercial music or something.
And if you were there, you were hearing this a lot. I mean, that happened constantly.
Yes. The poor saxophone.
The whole damn movie.
Yep. The poor saxophone, man. It just.
Yeah.
Just the people, they're always abusing it.
Yeah, I was watching watching some old Letterman. Richie Sambora was on, or not Richie Sambora. Is it Richie Sambora? Anyway, the famous sax guy.
Saxophone guy?
Can't think of his name.
Oh, you're talking about like Clarence Clemens, maybe?
No, or, it was a Sam.
Oh, what, you're talking. No, you're talking about.
Sanborn.
Yes. David Sanborn.
David Sanborn. Yeah. Thank you.
David Sanborn. Yes.
He was on Letterman all the time, so would sit in with the band and stuff. And he's really good. And they're playing, you know, some cool music and stuff. And it just hit me. I'm like, we just don't do it anymore. There's no more sax. Just nobody does
it. It's just such a strong instrument. It just makes such a statement. It's either got to be the headliner or it just doesn't exist.
Or the shirtless guy in a vampire movie. And that's it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It can't sit in the background. A saxophone demands the front of the stage when you hear it.
I played saxophone in middle school.
You did?
For me, John Hamm with a long hair wig has ruined the saxophone. Permanently and forever.
That Saturday Night Live skit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I just don't think it's going to, you know, like a lot of stuff comes back. Synth sounds come back and, you know, things come back. But I don't think the sax, I think we're done.
I challenge accepted. I can't wait for the sax to make its return.
It's coming back. It will come back.
When? Yeah. We're waiting forever here. I think it, because it all fell out of favor like mid-90s and we have not seen it since, man. It's just not there. So if it comes back, I will eat my words and a hat while I'm at it. But right now.
All right.
Play, and you got to do it while listening to saxophone music.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Well, gotta eat a little saxophone hat.
Here's your super again. Super Snooper. All right, that's all I'm playing of that freaking
Super
FM.
Snoopers.
Here is
Snooper.
Oh, everyone wanted to talk about Rosie LaBouche.
Wouldn't stop talking about Rosie LaBouche.
Yeah, Rosie LaBouche.
LaBouche. Oh my God. It's just hitting me. Is this movie brilliant because Rosie is red and red is his kryptonite? Oh man. Yeah.
And she has red pubic hair. That's the name. The name of the character.
Rosie LaBouche. Oh my gosh!
Yes. It all came together at the last second here. Here's Borgnine laughing.
Just like Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, just like Ernest. Every time. That's how he stays so young. You know. Listen to him laughing. That is Borgnine as hell. here's this vibe of music, a little slightly different.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like it.
I like it.
George Benson is about to come on and tell us about the lady getting down at the club.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. It was all right. Perv, I wrote.
I was just thinking how much I'd like to be alone with you right now.
Pervert. So wait, was she didn't seem freaked out enough that the entire stadium full of baseball fans disappeared. That was weird.
Not nearly enough. Like, oh my God, what happened? What did, are all those people dead?
Yeah.
Right.
It was a football game, right?
Was it football?
Yeah, it was at the Orange Bowl. It was at the Orange Bowl.
The Hurricanes? No,
I didn't even notice.
Somebody?
It could have been anything. Could have been freaking.
It wasn't the Dolphins. I was looking. There were a couple people wearing Dolphins colors, but some of these shirts said Hurricanes or something like that. Yeah.
How do you guys should be scared now? Utah's getting an NHL team. We're gonna dominate.
Cool.
No, we're not.
The response to that was underwhelming.
We're not gonna dominate anything. I don't think the Coyotes are already any good. So I don't know why they'd be any better here.
We're gonna call them the Yotes.
The Utah Yotes. I like it. Sign me up. Okay. You lose sound. I found a great you lose sound. I might use this for TMS like a contest losers and stuff. Check it out. It's pretty good. And that was when he jumped out. He was going to show everybody how he could jump out of the window and survive. And that time there was red or whatever, so he couldn't.
Yeah.
Almost died or should have died. What the hell happened there?
Should have died.
Yeah. But instead they're like, Harry
went to the hospital. Had super healing.
Right. They took him to the hospital and he was no longer seeing red once he woke up.
Right.
And so the fact that he didn't die meant that he was just alive enough for his superpowers to kick in and heal him.
Now, do I remember this wrong, or did
super
he
explain
did he super did he get out of his cast without opening the cast? Or do I?
Yes, he can barely turn into. Yeah. He's Otto. He just went and just.
Otto.
I think
Otto.
He burst out the back. I think he burst out the back of it and then laid it back down on the.
You mean Odo or Otto? Which
Odo?
Mean?
Did I say Otto?
You said Otto.
Yeah, it's good. I like knew it. What I meant. You
I knew what you
to,
meant.
I was close enough. You got in there.
No, yeah. I knew what you meant. It's like the English language. Sometimes you don't need to have it explained. It's fine.
No, Odo.
This is the guy getting his finger stuck in the door.
What's the matter?
My fingers.
What about your fingers?
You're stuck in his door.
That's
look at this door. See, visual that, gag.
That would have been such a funnier gag if our lead character had been speaking like English that we understood.
Yeah.
You know, like if he'd been like a known comedic actor,
might have worked.
You know?
Yeah. Picture like, I don't know, Steve Martin around The Jerk time or so.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, yeah. He hates these cans.
He could have done that. I gotta watch that documentary. I keep hearing such good things about it. It's Apple TV Plus.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, the Steve documentary in two parts. I'm 2/3 of the way through the first one. I'm taking in small bites and I'm just loving it.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah. This was very stupid. I wrote
right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
This goes on for a while, by the way.
Yeah,
that is the sound of him making people punch each other in a circle.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Like a bunch of Three Stooges.
Yeah,
that is the sound of a movie trying to make it to the 1 hour and 27 minute runtime required to be a motion picture.
That's right. Is there a limit? I never. Is that a thing? That's a thing, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a short.
It's a short.
Yeah, 90 minutes is there.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually like how this ended too, because this went old school. Even though this is 1980, it went like how movies used to be like earlier than the 70s, where things would have long credits in the opening and then at the end it would just like freeze frame ears out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it played that music though into a black screen for a while.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Nobody's staying for the credits.
This is the sound when he can float. Sometimes it made sound effects, and this was one time. There you go. Sound like a fart. Yeah, too much lima beans there. Here's a, I don't know what a stunk is, but here it is.
You really made me look like a stunk.
A stunk. What's a stunk?
Stunk.
What's a stunk? Oh, no. Is that a Jewish thing? Because sometimes you hear Yiddish, I mean.
It's not something I recognize, but.
Let's see. I'm looking up in the Yiddish dictionary. Let's see here.
To show impatience or disregard for.
Okay. That's a stunk.
Stunk.
All right. And that's Ed is Yiddish.
It's also the sound it's going to make when that guy pulls his shorts out of his butt.
a rotten, worthless, or utterly incompetent person.
Good Lord. All right.
Yeah. Low life. Despicable low life.
It's dark, yeah, man. Dark. Stunk. You're such a stunk. All right. Here's something in the fish.
The money was inside the fish.
Oh, yeah. We played that earlier. I like fish. That line. Fish. You got it twice. Oh, he says this twice, and it wasn't me. I didn't do this, so the movie did this.
You got it. You got it.
They did it right after each other.
Got it. You got it. You got it. Like, you got like, it.
A little editing mistake there, I guess.
Yeah.
Play it again.
Here you go.
You got it. You got it.
It's the exact same line.
Yeah, it's the same line.
It's not. It's not delivered twice.
No, they just played it twice. It was very weird. Here's something about a car.
I've never seen him so mad.
You should spend time in the car with him.
Oh, I'm talking about. How have you like never you seen?
Having...
How have you never seen him so mad? That's all he is. Ernest Borgnine is always mad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's definitely gonna have a stroke, or he's gonna get frozen in a fish boat and then drown.
Yep,
and then be saved.
He has almost a full tooth's worth of space between his front teeth. By the way.
He does. Yeah. Like it is like you made a clay head and all you had were chiclets and you shoved chiclets into the gums to make teeth.
Yeah, you'd make it work, but whew.
Yeah,
that's a lot of space. But some people can whistle through there. He can just make a full fart sound. Here's something about batteries included.
Batteries included.
I wish he wouldn't have said that.
Batteries included.
The way he said it.
Batteries included.
Shut up, dude.
The ADR, it's funny because he's just walking around like imitating a robot movement and stuff. But you know, during the ADR, he was holding his nose to do that line.
Had to be, right? Really yeah. bad. All right, here's everyone's favorite thing that was misread, but they kept it anyway. I spelled it a human Cuisinard, but here's how she said it.
A human Cuisinard.
That's just terrible.
Cuisinard.
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 Cuisinards.
Here's another. Oh, this is the mob guy getting mad.
You lousy, flat-footed, smart-ass.
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 I wrote, this sounds wrong.
You're under arrest for the first-degree murder of Police Sergeant William Dunlap.
Oh, it might be because
murder.
Of...
Murder.
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 Murder. Murder.
Again, just do another take. It's not
You're
a problem.
The showing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Murder. Murder.
And I'm thinking this movie could be fixed. Like, we now have the technology to fix all this. Right.
Murder.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Oh, no, I
like
agree.
When you put on some like Korean or Japanese programming and right. the voiceover, you know, the English dub is really good.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like there's some of them that it's really good. And you could just go to just treat this like it's a foreign language film.
So you're saying that the insurance company is going to send this back to the shop to get fixed and not just total it, not just count it as a write-off and
Yeah, because why wouldn't you want to?
And there's a lot of scenes where it's just him doing internal monologues. I mean, you could put anything in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I hate it. Oh, I hate that part of it, though.
Yeah.
Gosh,
this
dang it. It was
me on death row, about to die.
But the craziest thing happened.
Super, super!
All right. It's time for us to move now to this. Yes, it's the Film Sack Checklist. Everybody should regret this project. Check. Worst green screen work in decades. Check. It's real bad, that balloon part.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking through your fingers just about made me shut this shit off. Check. That was so bad.
Calling all cars.
I hated it. And he did it with both hands. He had one.
Yes.
Ah.
Well, yeah, because one hand wouldn't have had a strong enough signal. So it had to be both hands.
I mean, clearly.
There had to be a physical connection to the airplane to make it work.
Clearly. Yeah. Anyway, that's that. Let's get to the Star Trek connections. Borgnine, right? Somebody in here.
We do have one. Yeah, we have one little connection, and that is Mark Lawrence,
oh.
who played Torpedo in this. I feel like there's been a more famous Mark Lawrence since this. Mm. Yeah? Is that a name that rings a bell? Mark Lawrence?
No, not for me.
Joey Lawrence.
I think you're combining a couple of names together there. Yeah.
Mark Strong, Joey Lawrence. That's a great combo.
This guy who played Torpedo, like our sort of bad guy.
Yeah.
It was in an episode of The Next Generation and an episode of Deep Space Nine. And I went through everyone else in this movie. It didn't take long because it's a movie doesn't have a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
No.
And just this one guy, Mark Lawrence.
Does he play like a gangster on the holodeck? Because I feel like that's where
to.
I'm seeing him. And,
yeah. He's always playing
no.
that.
No, really?
No, I mean, I just looked at a couple of quick pictures of the characters and I didn't remember them. But like, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
That's not like that.
I thought there was some rumor that
Joe Piscopo's a nightclub or something.
Yeah. You know why I think Borgnine? This is hilarious. Is there's that meme of the Borgnine?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
and they always say the Borg and nine of Borg. Yeah, Ernest Nine of Borg. And it's this image right here, which I see all the time. And so in my head, I have assigned him to working on Star Trek because of it. Nice job, Scott. That's how our brains work. Anyway, what else here? Let's move on to, what did we do? Star Trek? We did. Why did this all flip out? Okay, there we go. Let's get now to our soundtrack grade. I'd give an OSR for one song rule. It did a pretty good job of adhering to the one song rule.
Yeah.
If you're going to have one song, I guess, go ahead and, you know, lean in.
One song.
All right, and then let's get to the social media post.
You're starting to sound like it's sticking to you, and that's the worst thing that could happen.
No, I know. That's all. Like, now I'm going to dream about that. Forget about freaking songs from Fallout. I'm going to do this one now tonight.
No, later, later. Once we're done recording this episode, everyone, your assignment is to go listen to like hours of other music.
Okay.
As much as you can listen to.
That's a good idea. Sure. I like it. Let's get to the social, totally social media posts. Let's start with Randy this week with 280 characters or less, please.
Super Snooper, a hero with the dumbest weakness, a plot that's best described as incompleteness. How does such sheer dreck even exist? They shot a barn at point blank range and missed. I'm not saying it's a cataclysm. It just takes a certain masochism. This guy can use his mind to steer machinery. At least Miami makes good blurry scenery.
That's all humid and dirty there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, the 70s and 80s had a way of making everything just look like shit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Dirty,
yeah.
Dirty.
I remember as a kid going, I'm never
shitty.
It's like, I'm never moving to any of these places. And they're actually fun. They're fine cities. I don't know. It was weird. Let's move over to Brian Dunaway now, please.
I watched Super Fuzz 1980. Like a deadly dose of theme song poisoning. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Hashtag plate of beans. Hashtag super pooper.
That's great. You connected the two stupid ideas. Well done. Brian Ibbett, take us home.
Super Fuzz, a movie so bad it needed to change its name and go into witness protection.
Oh, man. I wouldn't blame it after all that. Well, that's great, and good thing you guys both made this reference coming up here, because I made alternate titles, or was handed alternate titles, that are right along the line with it. So, for example, it was almost called Stupid Fuzz or Stupid Snooper, and they just couldn't decide which one.
Couldn't pick, yeah. Right.
You know how that goes.
Super quizzing art.
That's right. Let's get to some emails. We got a couple of them here this week I'd like to focus on. Filmsack@gmail.com is where to send those. Hey Sackers, I've been catching up on episodes and love the Cabin of the Woods discussion, says Chris, who wrote this in. It made me wonder where Tucker and Dale versus Evil is on your list. Maybe more of an October entry, but you can't go wrong with Alan Tudyk. He meant subversion of the horror camping genre. Over to you, Randy. Regards, says Chris. I think that would be a great idea. I think it works. Even though it's kind of played for laughs, it's also quite subversive and interesting in its own way. I would have no problem doing Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, we did Cabin in the Woods, right? I mean, that was kind of, I mean, it's not as abstract, but it's still in that vein, right?
Yeah, I really like that movie, so
yeah,
I'm down if you guys
I enjoyed
down.
It.
Yeah. Has everyone seen it here? The tale.
No, I watched it again.
No. Uh-huh. Oh, you'd like it.
I have
like
no
it,
idea
Brian.
What you're talking about.
You never heard of Tucker and Dale?
Oh my God.
Oh.
I think we had to watch it because Nicole recommended it. Like,
I still
forever.
Don't know what you're talking about. When it was named the second time, everybody talked over it.
So let's keep talking about it.
So like the email said, Tucker and Dale versus Evil is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you need to see that, dude.
Tucker and Dale Must Die. Is that?
No,
that was Tucker and Dale Dies at the End.
Yeah, is what it's called. There was supposed to be a sequel, and it never happened, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
because that movie's freaking great. I love it.
Yeah,
it's funny and kind of horrifying at the same time.
I feel like I saw it first. Film Sack. That's weird.
No, he definitely didn't.
Okay.
I saw it for like Dunaway said. I saw it for something.
Yeah, it was something. Maybe I saw it for recommendals or something because.
Something like
I do
that,
remember
right?
Now that I'm looking at clips, it's like, oh no, I've totally seen this, or photos. I mean,
did
totally
we couch party this? We might have.
No, we definitely didn't couch party it.
Okay.
No, it was a while ago. It was when it was just Nicole on recommendals.
Yeah, because it's older.
And for some reason we watched it. Maybe it was did we used to do like assigned watching or something? I remember when we were doing the cards that we had to watch a movie that had
horror,
comedy, something, and
right—we
had to fit the choice.
We may have tried to watch things each other watched before or something for a while, and it wasn't
maybe, yeah, that's what's
untenable or something. Anyway, I'd do it again. That movie's great. Joe Rodin says, "Hey guys, I've been listening to Bond Sacks, and I wanted to let you know about a CD called Best of Bond with many of the good themes. It has the music from On Her Majesty's Secret Service that I also liked, and I completely agree with you that You Only Live Twice is a great song. Also love the show, though. Joe, I'm going to guess Ibbet has this album, right? This is a thing you have.
Yeah. What's it called again?
Best of Bond. Just Best of Bond.
Oh, yeah. Just all the theme songs. Yeah, I've got this.
Good old Best of Bond.
Best of Bond. Bond Sacks is what I've written on. This is what it's called.
Sure.
Yeah, no, and what's cool about it is it's got like all of each of the theme songs, but then it's got like the best of the interstitial or the score music for each, for a lot of them, and some alternates like Shirley Bassey doing some other themes, I guess.
Oh, other themes in the series that she didn't do originally.
I'm looking at mine, and it's all reorchestrated versions, and it's only up to the Timothy Dalton movie, so it doesn't have anything after Timothy.
So maybe I'm looking at something, or I'm thinking something different, because the one that I've got is, has all of the themes on it, all the way up to, looks like the Jack White and Alicia Keys. Another way to
Die. You know what, they've re-released this over and over,
or they just called it like they just have multiple things that are the same name.
Yeah. So you tell me, is there a Shirley Bassey where she does the Cornell, Chris Cornell theme?
No, gosh, no.
That would be
cool. But it was like From Russia with Love, maybe. Let me see. I've got it in my library here as well. I do have her doing A View to a Kill from Russia with Love. Nobody Does It Better. We Have All the Time in the World. You Only Live Twice. So a bunch that she didn't do.
Oh, I love Nobody Does It Better. That's a great song.
So that's
from a different thing, from Bassey Sings Bond.
Oh, okay.
So there's a 2012 release of The Best of Bond. It's two discs, 50 songs.
Jeez.
50 songs,
and they all just reorchestrations. You said like
it's mostly the originals.
Oh, okay, like remasters or something. Well, probably some of them.
Yeah, a bunch of remastered Shirley Bassey and Carly Simon and so on.
Oh, I'd be down.
But then there's like, you know, that on Her Majesty's Secret Service, the theme that doesn't have lyrics, you know, that we talked about last time,
right,
a couple times ago.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
So this is a series of CDs. I just only ever got the first one, the very first one, from like 30 years ago. And some of the issues in the series are amazing.
Interesting. Well, check that out, everyone at home. Looks like it's available pretty much everywhere. And it looks like there might be multiples. And also the thing Randy has sounds, or Brian has, sounds cool. I like Shirley Bassey.
Yeah. That is just an album called Bassey Sings Bond, and it's the ones she did, as well as some ones where she went back and re-recorded, like I said, the Duran Duran. She you know, redoes A View to a Kill with her vocals and stuff.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Neat. I have to check that out. Thank you for that email, Joe and Chris. If you'd like to send us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. You can also keep texting us. Get a lot of those as well. 801-471-0462. You can also leave a voicemail there if you prefer. Like to thank some folks who joined us this week on Patreon. Alkabob, we know him.
Yay.
And yeah. Seb also joined us over at patreon.com/filmsack. Because of that, you'll get no commercials. You'll get pre-show content every week. You'll get monthly episodes from the host. You're getting a new one from Ibbet here in a couple of days. So watch for that.
That's right.
Movie-related art prints for me in the mail and other great monthly benefits. You just got to go check them out and see what you want over there at patreon.com/filmsack. Speaking of our next episode, we are doing a mailbag episode. And you might say, ooh, usually when you guys do those, because something's going on. Well, Ibbet and I will be in Vegas doing TMS Vegas.
That's right.
So that's where we'll be. And that's why we're doing it.
What's going on.
Yeah. But it'll be great. And we're doing a question and answer sort of email in sort of episode. So listener feedback episode, I guess, is the way to say it. And you've already done it. You've sent us a ton of things. Huge thanks ahead of time, because we're going to be using them all for that next episode. And then after that, we're finally getting around to that Britney Spears thing that we avoided for so long.
So you're like, you can sit down and go and watch these other Terrence Hill movies,
yes,
and be excited about it. And then,
yes. Yes, that's a great idea. More Terrence Hill.
How could you be so forgiving of Super Snooper and not
Yeah,
it's because come on, it's got Zoe Saldana and Anson Mount.
Anson Mount.
But well, I feel like it's going to be boring.
I love it. I love it. I do. I remember being thrilled that this was not going to happen before, but at this time I'm actually kind of, I need some closure on it. So I think we need to do it. I think it needs to happen. Yeah. So that'll be in 2 weeks, but next week our mailbag episode. So check that out, everyone. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. You can go check out all the stuff you need there. It links to everything. Also, leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. It means a lot to us and helps the show grow. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Murder.
Murder.
Murder. Cuisinart. Murder.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.